with Dr. Keith Suter.
For weeks and weeks, the Ukraine-Russia situation was headline news. Now, its stories seem to really make headline news anymore, but the invasion of Ukraine continues. Ukraine military says almost 9,000 members have been killed. Some 5,500 civilian deaths has been confirmed by the UN. Dr. Keith Suter from Global Directions joins me this afternoon. Hello, Keith.
Yes, good afternoon, Brent.
It seems as though, unfortunately, in the 24/7 news cycle that we live in, Keith, the Ukraine-Russia situation, I won't say has been pushed to the back pages, but it certainly is not headline news anymore.
No, the novelty is certainly gone. I think the reason for that is that it looks as though it's getting bogged down now in a stalemate. It's almost returned to World War One in terms of the static fighting that's going on. It is interesting that in the last few hours we've had the Ukrainians fighting back with a view to taking the Russian-occupied southern Kherson region. But even there, they're not going to be able to do it very quickly. But it is amazing that with all the Western weaponry that they've got, the Ukrainians are still in there fighting so well and doing a lot better than a lot of us were predicting. You know, if you go back exactly 6 months and 1 week when the invasion began, a number of us were predicting that the Russians would be able to invade the country fairly quickly, but not actually able to occupy it. Well, they haven't been able to occupy, haven't actually been able to invade the country. They're controlling about 20% of the country, which is far less than most people were predicting. So it's a remarkable show of force by the Ukrainians, who, of course, are being supported by Western allies, supplying a lot of very sophisticated weaponry. And I think also Russia badly misjudged the situation. I'm sure there must be a number of people around Putin who will be thinking, well, if we knew it was going to be as bad as this, we wouldn't have started in the first place. Obviously, the Russians don't have the high level of morale that you see with the Ukrainians. And I think also that the West has turned out to be more unified and willing to work together, and much more so than Putin thought, where Putin was looking at all the toxic battles over washrooms in the United States and things like that. And you think, oh, well, those Americans are so preoccupied with domestic stuff. I might be able to get away with the next stage of the invasion, much as he was able to do back in 2014 when President Obama was in the White House. But in fact, the Americans have tended to come together. You've got some Americans who are saying, look, this is really not our war. They're not necessarily sympathetic to the Russian leader, but they're just simply saying, look, we've fought enough wars. We're not going to get bogged down in another one. But because the president, Biden, is only supplying weaponry and not actually American personnel, and the Americans love making weapons, so I think that it's actually worked out very well for Ukraine that they are getting the forces, the weaponry they require without the US forces being deployed. So it can drag on for quite a while yet.
Keith, Putin has threatened the use of nuclear weapons. Do you think if he was going to actually use these nuclear weapons, he would have used them by now?
Well, the weapons are really just as a last resort, and it's to take everybody down when he goes down. We're nowhere near that. Now, the worry I've got, of course, is accidental firing of nuclear weapons. That's always a risk. With or without a war on, there's always that risk. But I don't think that would be the top of mind calculation for him at the moment. He obviously still thinks that he can achieve good results by the use of conventional forces. He doesn't see the need with nuclear weapons, because if he does, then obviously the West, I think, will retaliate, and Russia will be even worse off than it is at the moment.
Do you see, I know when we spoke first about this 6 months ago or more now, when we first spoke about this, you said you saw this being, rather than a short, you saw this being a long conflict. Do you see an end in sight? Is there a light at the end of the tunnel now or not? Could this go on for years?
Well, General Mike Milley, who's head of the U.S. Defense Force, has actually said that he expects it to go on for years, months if not years. And in one sense, of course, it has gone on already for 8 years, because the original invasion took place back in 2014. It's just that on February the 24th this year, the Russians stepped up the rest of the invasion into areas which they were not previously occupying. So it could, yeah, absolutely drag on for quite a while yet. The Americans are still willing to keep supplying equipment, and they've got to have a lot of weapons to supply. Provided the Ukrainians are willing to continue to fight, I think the war will go on. You've got, obviously, this notion of the stalemate, which we're looking at the moment. Or the alternative would be some sort of sudden dramatic change in what was happening, a dramatic change whereby perhaps the Russian leader is overthrown, Mr. Putin is removed, or perhaps President Zelensky in Ukraine is overthrown. Mm-hmm. And that may end up with people suing for peace. The next big factor, of course, will be the European winter. When the Europeans, Western Europeans, are suffering from the use of energy as a weapon by Putin. So that might, particularly the French and the Germans, might encourage them to put pressure on Ukraine to come to the negotiating table. Ukraine has said that it wants to liberate all of the country that it lost back in 2014. That's where the struggle is going on as we speak at the moment, just launching the attack on Kherson. So this is more than just a counterattack. They're actually seeking to liberate lands that were previously held by the Russians back in 2014. So it's a very brave move by Ukraine. They're going to end up trying to push the Russians right out of all the territory which they claimed 8 years ago. It's a big gamble, but they may be able to pull it off.
I've got a couple of minutes left, only two, before I have to go to the news. Mikhail Gorbachev passed away overnight. Yeah. How will he be remembered, do you think?
Oh, he's a great man. It was a great honour for me to meet him after he'd retired from politics in the early 90s. Someone who changed the course of history. One of these few examples where you can say that having a particular politician in the right place at the right time changed the nature. And obviously he's despised in Russia because they see them as being responsible for the downfall of their old Soviet Union. And of course, Putin loathes him. But at the same time, he did end the Cold War. And for a brief shining moment, with the improvements in the relations between the Americans and the Russians, it was a reminder that breakthroughs are not only bad news, as we saw on February the 24th this year with the Russian invasion of Ukraine, but can also be good news, and you can actually have good people working for peace and improvement in the world.
Well said. R.I.P. Mikhail Gorbachev, he did wonderful things, did he not?
Indeed.
Dr. Keith Suter, thank you so much for your time. We'll talk again.
Indeed. Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye.